Call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open meeting acts posted on southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Henderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing is on the consent agenda is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held July 28th. Approve all claims through August 11th in the amount of $397,487.30. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Ralph Sam Stevens for a three-year term as representative of the Blue Rivers Area Aging on Aging Governing Board. Approve amended procedure for issuance of special designated liquor licenses in Gage County. Approve permit number 867 for Norris Public Power District to construct an electric utility line north 14 Blakely Township. Approve canceling check 11188 to Louis Liguario in the amount of $353.10 due to overpayment.
Move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Barnard.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion. The only discussion I want to have is there any way we can do a better checks and balances on the checks, the overpayment? I mean, if we have way too many out of there.
His attorney's office that did this one.
Check and balances have been what, from what, one office painting?
Correct.
One or two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They submit a bill and then they pay it. They usually get it twice. I don't know how it's happening.
Really, each department head is really the major screening point on those. And then clerk's office has to catch it kind of after the fact. And
yeah.
Would that be a fairly correct statement?
Yeah, because they submit the claim. We don't know if it's a bill that's paid or not paid, so we have to pay it if they...
Than send a letter out to all the...
Yeah, but I mean, these are overpayments, though, correct?
Yeah. That's because we paid it twice.
That's what I mean. It's the integrity of the company that have notified you, right?
Yeah, they've...
That's what I'm getting at. If we have paid these people twice, if those companies weren't honest, we've double paid them. So...
Well, if the department or elected official submits a claim twice...
They should know.
And we pay the claims, but...
We pay the claims.
We're reviewing the claims, but it comes out of their office first, so...
And we don't know what they all are.
Outside of calling every office, every pay period, is this a second, is this a second? I mean, really, they have to screen it.
I'm not sure when this first claim was paid, but it might have been paid 2 months ago.
Yeah, it could have been.
I think it was last
six times ago, yeah. And just the sheer number of claims we go through.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way we're going to catch it the next unless it happened 2 weeks ago and we say, oh, yeah, I remember that name.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, this was in April. We cut them the check in April, and they're just,
wow.
Well, Ron can remember that far back, can't you? I can't.
Almost. Yeah.
I couldn't pick that out.
Okay, any more discussion?
Oh, Mr. Chair, the liquor license?
Okay, the amended part is the part where Gus wanted us to put that if the event was held at the city or village, you had to contact them and not the county. You had to go through them. So he wanted that change.
And that comes from us asking them to clear it up from the lady from up north earlier.
Gus, so. I just didn't see Gus, but that was his.
See, this is all part of that Homestead thing here.
Right.
Yeah, 6 months ago, right. When they submitted their permit to the city of Beatrice instead of to us.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Looks pretty quiet. Okay, Marlin, Highway Superintendent report, you're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Marlin.
Hey. Thank you, Marlin.
You are the agenda.
Thank you.
Here's them permits.
Okay, thank you.
So this is my final total.
That's the final. Is that okay?
Does that include that paving amount? Do I need to add that on?
No, I added that on.
Okay. Great. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sir.
Good morning, Marlon.
What was I going to call you about?
You're on vacation,
aren't
you?
Be enough to bring us down.
I took one day off when my grandson was
No, you're hooked in for a year then, aren't you? Your ninth grandson?
Niner, huh?
Wow.
Asking about the interlocal agreement or whatever with the city on that rent stuff.
No, I can do that though. I'm sure that should qualify because that's what the city. Yeah, it's an agreement.
I brought my laptop along to show you something when we get the chance, but that. Basically struggling with how we're going to verify how that blacktop is south there where they're going to put that temporary thing on time, right? Temporary asphalt plant. So I'll start that up later and we'll go over that. We do have a zoning meeting this afternoon. We're working on the wind generation, kind of the final draft for the Planning Commission. And also the comp plan will be up. You know, looking that over, they've got quite a bit of it done. So that'll be this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Moving on down to the agenda, we have a approve or disapprove a special purchase of a 2006 Mack truck at a negotiated price of $85,000 with 46,000 miles on the unit. And we discussed this several times. We advertised for bids. We received that one bid, and then we negotiated them down to that $85,000.
So. Mr. Chairman.
Terry?
After we received the bids, and then we negotiated after that, did the other bidders have a chance to negotiate down to?
There was only one bid.
Oh, there was no other bids.
I think Rick approved the method you chose, didn't he?
Okay. Well, I just wondered because somebody could ask.
And it was advertised correctly, and decimals in the right place and all that. If that's all kosher, I would so move.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Chairman.
Matt.
So purchase of this, when will we actually take ownership of this?
Depending on the company, we could probably, you know, if they trust the county, we can probably get it right away and run the claim through next time.
Well, when is the... motor grader. When would we take delivery of that?
It's supposed to be done in August. I'm hoping we can get it before and get this other one, get something done on that before we have to pay another month's rent.
No, I just point that out because from capital equipment, that'll be $318,000. So if we cannot hit it all in the same period, if we could stretch it out a little bit. Yeah, that because that'll be a big hit. That would be half, if not three quarters, of a claim cycle. So, just with the capital equipment purchase,
what do we do?
The old truck.
Oh, then we'll advertise that probably on purple wave, not
purple
blue.
Purple wave. Has that worked out okay?
Yes, I think you know with that old. What did we sell on that? We sold that air compressor. We sold that old AMZ, and I think they did good on it.
The only thing, Matt, we have, if it's worth any value, is taxes will start coming in on September 1. Okay. So it should be all right as far as revenue is concerned, but it'll blow half his budget for the year.
There's another thing. FEMA, talking with them, and there's supposed to be some reps here for later on. Congress finally did authorize the category C through G, which is the repairs. And so hopefully that money will start trickling in. They still owe us like 80-some thousand on that DeWitt project. And then plus we've had two storms since then that we signed the paperwork on, and then we're working on the spring thaw set. So
the only request I would make is that coordinate with the clerk and the treasurer's office so that we don't use all our cash up or half of it.
If we have to, I'm sure one of the companies probably,
that's
the motor grader might let us split it up or we'll just, yeah.
Okay. Next, Marlon, is are we doing the column to specs, or we did that?
Did we vote?
Did we ever vote on
no.
That?
Okay, vote. I couldn't remember if we did. 7-0.
Okay, The next thing is approve or disapprove a specification calls for bids for a used 2003 to 2004 four-wheel drive motor grader with less than 6,000 hours on it. In your packet, you have the specs. Basically, we had to go with what that machine that we're renting on is kind of as a what we're looking for specs. We also put the option in there of trade with that 96. So this is basically just get the advertisement going. And if I let Nancy know by 10 o'clock when we get it in Friday's paper, it'd be more than 10 days ahead of the proposed bid date of August 25th.
Gary?
From the information that I got, it looks like it's pretty much a no-brainer because we're taking the rent off. I guess the only problem is it's going to be, I don't know how you'd find anybody else to make a very competitive bid based on that, but I certainly support it because it's a pretty prudent use of our money.
Well, it would be hard for anybody else to bid on it, but, you know, there's always that possibility, and we have to cover.
Slim and none.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary, was that a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion by Barnard, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 7-0.
Next thing is on this request for a stop sign, and you have on your agenda approve or disapprove placing stop signs at intersection of Southwest 75 Road and West Hoyt Road, and that's located at northeast corner of Section 35, Township 4 North, Range 5 each.
I would move that we would disapprove placing the stop sign at that intersection, et cetera, et cetera.
I would second that based on Marlon's opinion that I hope he gives it.
Move by Fleece, seconded by Anderson. Marlon, discussion.
Okay, in your packet is my recommendation, and the points there is intersection is an area, and I do have pictures. If you want to pass that around, look at them quick. It's basically the area is pretty flat. The only issue is the as temporary site restrictions due to crop rotations, not uncommon in the agriculture district. The traffic counts between the north-south road and the east-west road wasn't a lot of difference.
Is this where you lost your traffic counter?
I lost one traffic counter out there. Somebody hooked onto it with a chain and broke our padlock and took off with it, left about that long chunk of hose. I turned it into the sheriff. He ain't here, but he said they probably won't, you know, unless they find it at some party sometime. Probably pretty hard to find.
Mr. Chairman, that motion was to disapprove?
Yeah.
Okay.
That means don't place one there.
Right. Now, yeah. Okay. And the township requested this? And
correct.
The township actually wants signs there?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
I like signs. I wish we could slow everybody down. So I'm going to vote for it because I think it's a township request. I like signs. Mm-hmm. Stop, slow people yeah. down, keep people on the main roads, high traffic roads. I drove and looked at this one myself, and I got out there, and I would admit it's flat, but when there is an issue and there is an obstacle there, it's an issue for 2 or 3 months. And
we don't want
to ignore a safety issue.
Is it because of corn?
It's because of corn. It's on three sides.
There's a picture of it.
But yeah, I drove.
We have to vote no to vote to put the signs there, though, right?
The north. It's the northwest. Northwest side is beans. Everything else is corn. And you can get your front of your vehicle out there, and you can see probably 200 yards there. But I know that just to the south or the north, there's the homestead. So there's probably some level of traffic there. And I think people take that instead of going around Highway 4, they like to go straight and hit that. So I like signs. Slow people down. Stop them.
Well, the homestead actually owns some more land there, so people are driving around there.
I'll vote it. I don't like signs in the first place. I think it's a false sense of security. Just because people say you got a stop sign, the other person thinks, oh, this person's going to stop. Out in a rural area, that don't happen. It doesn't even happen in the city of Beatrice. You got stop signs all over, and people just go right on through them. You know, they think, or somebody thinks, well, there's a stop sign there. I don't have to worry about it. Baloney. you know, you're better off to have no stop signs where people look at the intersections when they get there. I've got intersections in Beatrice that are better, or worse viewed than what this one is. And I don't have no stop signs there. But people have got to be responsible.
Dennis?
this is one of the subject matter of the self-defense courses that we had at the NIRMA meeting this last week. And one thing we want to remember is liability. And if we as a board determine after the township has requested that we put a stop sign at that intersection and there is an accident involving injury or death, think of the liability that we might have as a county. So keep that in mind when you're doing this. I'm like you, Ron. People don't observe, unfortunately, but we can't make them do that. And so I will not vote to not put a stop sign at that intersection.
I guess, Denny, I'm going to agree with Ron. I'm going to respect your stance, but Marlin has done the study on the road. He deemed it was not beneficial for safety. That is what the study's for. We look at it. We can have requests all across the county on stop signs, and we could be... How many intersections do we have across the county?
There's a lot of them, but they... and one thing I looked up too, and I forgot to put in my report, was the accident history. There was no accident history at that place for the last 5 years of available information, and that's another thing I always look at. So,
yeah, I think that's a good indicator. So, Dave?
I would comment likewise. There are no doubt hundreds of unmarked signs in Gage County, and if not in Gage, certainly at the surrounding counties. That's just a part of ruralness, and drivers need to drive accordingly. My guess is, and again, the attorney isn't here, our insurance reps aren't here, but my guess is we would have no more liability either way, Danny. I just don't think that if it's an unmarked intersection, the driver is liable. I'm not sure that the county is. Now, if there were a sign there and it fell down and we didn't replace it for 3 weeks, then we'd be, you know, have some liability. But I don't believe it would increase our liability if we vote, you know, to put or not to put signs there. And I think I'll vote against it just because how do you mark all of these signs? And if there's a permanent reason and a study indicates even a gray area, we could put signs. But to just put them up because there's corn there this year, and I don't think would be a good use of taxpayers' money. And if there's an accident there, we'll all feel horribly bad. But
I guess, if we put a sign there and somebody steals that stop sign, then who's liable then?
We are.
Yeah. So you're better off, you know, not have nothing there.
They're trying to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
You know, on our corner, we try to plant weed or something on the corners. But there's one corner out of the three that has corn. And I'm still amazed how many people zoom through there. They don't pay any attention. Wouldn't make any difference if we had a sign there or not. People just don't care. And the people in the city that come out, we've had people from Omaha, and they said, we didn't know you had to look and stop or see if there's anyone else coming. They just think you can go.
Would you clarify the vote,
Marlon? Yeah, we will in a minute.
All right, one more comment on that, is a short one, is the more stop signs you put up, the less people respect them. They'll respect them on main roads, on intersections where there's shelter belts, but if you start putting them on all these crop intersections and they're there all year then, and the people just start blowing through them, and that's basically history has proven that. So.
Okay, Gary asked for clarification of the motion. Dawn, you want to read the motion back?
Well, the motion was to disapprove placing a stop sign at the intersection.
A vote yes, Gary, means you do not agree with putting up a stop sign. A vote no means you believe a stop sign should be put up.
Thank you.
No, just the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Oh, wait a minute.
You voted to...
Oh, yes, you disapprove putting up the stop sign.
Right. That's right.
I want signs, I vote no, right?
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're all there. Just
that's what you just said.
Okay, we're all there.
If you want a stop sign there, you got to vote yes.
If you don't want a stop sign, you vote yes. Correct. Any more discussion? Those always throw us.
How long is this dog leash anyway?
Vote. Okay, in favor, Anderson, Groenewald, Adams, Fleece, Byers. Against, Bauman and Barnard. What else, Marlon?
We have some people coming from FEMA. They're about here. On the rest of my report, I did get a quote on basement walls. It's in your packet for that FEMA trailer if we decide to move it down there. I would have to get some more quotes, but this is just an idea to let you know how much it's going to be or thereabouts. But this is for the walls only, and then the outside stairway going into.
No floor? You guys are pouring the floor? Or?
We'll either pour the floor or we'll hire somebody else.
Okay.
But Martin, basement or walls, say they just do the walls.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Gary?
I'll never get excited about putting basements under trailer houses. I think it's not a good use of our money, and at some point in time, maybe we'll go a different direction, but I can't see putting a basement under a trailer house and using taxpayer money to do it.
Okay. It's not an agenda item today, though.
No, it's just
information. An information item.
Okay.
Then as far as the crews, we're getting close to that shouldering job being done. I need to go out there later on today. Galen's gone for a couple of days, so we've been dealing with a lot of mud again. But seems to be we're getting closer and closer. So it's been a long project with all the Marines we had earlier. The asphalt crew's doing some thin overlaying on bad spots. Usually we're putting down about an inch or more, trying to hold spots that are, you know, starting to crack a little. Any bad spots we dig out and replace all the material. So the bridge crew was down there west to, east of Wymore, Blue Springs Wymore, on the B line. We had a back wall undermine on that bridge. The problem is the degradation of the stream beds. It's a problem throughout the county. They seem to get deeper and deeper. When your back wall sheets are 2 foot above the stream bed, it don't work real good. Problem we're going to be facing a lot more in the future. So, I think that's all I had until we get to the FEMA stuff. I did have a video of this blacktop. If you wanted to pass it around and look at it, I'll get it going.
Mr. Chair?
Dave?
I guess I'd ask two things. If, while Marlon's here, if we could do the Road and Bridge Committee report, which I know sometimes
I think it's appropriate
end,
to do.
Be
yeah.
appropriate, especially today, to do it now. And then maybe we could watch the video at break or intermission opposed to passing it around. Be the other suggestion.
That'll work.
Okay. Road and Bridge Committee met on Monday, talked about various issues. The Barnston South Bridge, the bridge has been removed, and so that, I think, triggers the 90-day construction cycle then, I assume?
There's working days, so many working days.
Does that not start till they actually show up for the new bridge?
The working days, I understand it, as soon as they start the project, because we suspended it after we did the clearing and grubbing, so we didn't charge any days on that, but as far as I understand, they're getting charged days now. So.
Probably issued a work order as soon as they wanted that bridge removed, though. They told them to start working.
Right,
that's
right. Notice to proceed, yeah.
Okay, and I think on that project, there's at least a 4-mile local detour that, well, 1 mile would be State Highway 8, but I believe there's 3 miles of township road. And Marlon has assured us that we are working with the township to sign that as safely as possible and have material on there. And the township has indicated it's capable of doing the maintaining, running the maintainer down there. So hopefully that's covered. As he mentioned, the Zion South shouldering, about a week to go, weather permitting. He indicated that Galen has accomplished 1 week of the RC training school There's about a two-week break, and then he'll go back for one more week or two more.
3 days.
For 3 days when he goes back. So that'll be good. We'll have a second RC down there at least. And then the FEMA reports will be coming up. The main issue we talked about, of course, was the tree and brush issue that this board tasked our committee with. We had in-depth discussion, kind of a brainstorming thing. Unfortunately, we didn't come up with any definitive answers. I'll throw out a few suggestions and then would encourage input here in discussion and further direction. And as we develop some sort of plan, certainly we do need to be meeting with the townships, as Gary suggested. I think probably, you know, somewhere midway, I would suggest in the process. I think we got to try to come up with some options to present to them. I think if we meet too early, probably wouldn't be that productive. But before anything is certainly set up, we need to have their input, because probably the majority of the worst situations are on township roads. That's not to say that the county roads are pure and have no issues, because we certainly do. In fact, even some of the blacktops drifted in. Do you remember the snow last winter? Actually, some of our main arterial blacktops were the worst drifted in that we couldn't even get through with V-plows. So it took loaders to actually bucket the snow out. So, again, keep in mind, we're not just talking about trees rubbing on sprayers and school buses. We're talking about snow piling trees and brush that really cause really bad situations, all the way from inconvenience to could be actually life-threatening if you couldn't get an emergency vehicle through after a snowstorm. And I know last Christmas there were some upset people that had some dire situations. One of the suggestions that we came up with is that we have two sign techs in the county, one that does the north half, one does the south half, and they drive every road, and I would think they're probably the most familiar with the rural roads of any of our staff members. And my suggestion is that they could be trained up and tasked to verify on complaints. Certainly they would be in position to turn in original complaints of their own of locations that were getting to be a safety issue. Certainly they would be capable of finding on a map where a problem has been identified by a school or a co-op or et cetera. And just my personal suggestion, they could be trained up to come to the courthouse, look up, see who the real owners are, and then perhaps if need be, I would think if they're not capable of typing a letter on a computer, they ought to be probably taught to, but if that wasn't in the cards, I would think some staff member, either current or part-time or new hire or something, could be done to actually send out the letters. And Marlon has really indicated that over time we have really had a pretty high level of compliance with just letters. You know, we always get hung up with this, oh, the whole thing ain't going to work because the attorneys won't prosecute or it somehow falls through the cracks. Well, I think the first step is to be aggressive and let landowners know that they are being watched, that we notice it is a safety issue. Their liability certainly increases with lack of maintenance, and we probably would get a fairly high compliance out of that. Obviously, at some point, we have to develop the whole process, and that's where we really ran into problems when we tried to define then the actual process and the enforcement and or prosecution, and that's where we all need to maybe kick in. But okay, so the sign techs could be, in my opinion, a prudent use of them. They're paid a little higher than the normal laborers. That's kind of considered a promotion when you get to be a sign tech. So they should be willing and able and paid to accept some additional responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then you get to, okay, what priority do you take these things? Again, any of you have suggestions, as you read in the paper, we thought, you know, school routes, particularly this time of year, should have some sort of priority. But then probably when the companies and individuals turn in spots, I had suggested townships, but our committee, I think, ended up universally saying, well, the townships really should be taking care of their own problems. They are a government entity with a levy, and they're the ones that should be doing it. So we weren't the discussion. This may come across not sounding very good, but we thought maybe the township shouldn't have any higher priority than anybody else. My original thought was, well, priorities turn, if townships turn in a spot, that should rank right behind schools. But with discussion, it was kind of, and the other members are here, plus Rex was there too, and I'll shut up here in a minute so they can kick in. But I think that was kind of the summary that, geez, the townships are an entity and have some legal responsibility, so maybe they should try to take care of as many of their own problems as possible and then come through our system. I think that's pretty much the discussion, wasn't it, Shirley? I'm looking through my notes here.
But, Chairman.
Oh, the complaint list would be posted on the website so that the public could start getting a sense of where the problems are.
Harry.
Maybe it's a question for Marlon, too. Have we successfully got some of these problem areas taken care of? If the landowner hasn't taken care of it or nobody's done it, have we had any success or have we pursued any to see where it would go if we pursued them?
We've had pretty good success. If you follow up, keep following up on it. There's a couple of them we ended up having the sheriff deliver the message after they wouldn't, you know, they kind of ignored the mail, the certified letters, and then when the sheriff delivered it, they seemed to pay a little more attention. I know, Matt, a couple years ago, I think you turned in that South Sumner, and, you know, it looks pretty good. You know, we basically, first time we sent a letter, we sent it registered mail, and a couple of them complied then. So the next time we had it, the sheriff delivered it, so we made sure, because some of them won't pick it up if they know what it's about, so.
Have we ever had to prosecute anybody?
We've never got to prosecute anybody, but
But nobody's ever pushed us so far that we've had to, or
there's some we should have probably prosecuted, but kind of.
Did they ever fix it? Ever fix their problem? If
there's a couple of them, I think that we've got that never did comply completely.
And you just dropped it then.
Yeah, I mean that's happened over time. The question I've been asking people is, how much money as taxpayers are they willing to commit to this? The bottom line is enforcement, cleaning it up costs money. And that's where the discussion came in on, Joe taxpayer, do you want to see your taxes raised to pay for this? And they're saying no. If it's a governing body's responsibility, and that's where the township comment come from, is that if it's township responsibility, then use their taxing authority. Well, it's a brainstorming is all it is. But at some point, we as a body, if we want to move on with this, we need to have X amount of dollars that we're willing to dedicate to it. And if it's complaint-driven only, it stays as complaint-driven only. But, I mean, at some point, we have to say if we're ever going to rectify it.
Hasn't this been going on for years?
It's been on since I've been on the board, and I can't say we're any closer than the day I started. Like Marlon says, if people don't comply with the letter, it ends there. So, I mean, if we don't set a dedicated amount to go in to clean it up, dedicated amount to prosecution, dedicated amount for collection, we're probably no closer than we were.
Can we do like we do if they don't mow the roadsides, mow it and bill them? Yeah. Is that a legal option?
It gets a little more problematic because the law is so fuzzy. I mean, if it's a clear danger, which I guess it's us that decides what safety and what danger is. So, you know, clearly it's just how aggressive we are as a body, in my opinion, and subsequently the attorney at our request. To me, anytime, even on a rural road, if somebody is forced over center, in other words, we all know a lot of the rural roads are only a lane and a half, and you hook one tire over the shoulder and you get go along. But if the trees are so bad that you have nowhere to go, and you can't even meet a person safely on that road, even by pulling over one wheel over the gravel pile, to me, that's a danger.
Well, these are
to somebody else, that's not a danger.
They need asked. I mean,
they were brought to me, and I told people that I'd bring them forward.
And the southern end of the county is a problem. I had the annual phone call from Henry Aiden this morning at 8:30, and he was all fired up, and he's true, you know. And He said, now, like Marston Township, one of their officials said they could be hired to mow that, you know, and that's his point. If you mow it, at least that's preventative. Mowing in spring is preventative. Cutting down a 12 or 20 inch diameter tree after it's there, that's corrective, and that gets pretty expensive. So,
as I pointed out, a lot of those trees are older than some of these people on the board that have been in the right of way. I mean, so it's not an issue that popped up overnight. It has been allowed.
Old tree, guys.
I'm saying they're old and crusty. The bark's starting to fall off. Go ahead, Matt.
Do I look as old as a tree?
Your bark is falling off.
No, strike a pose, I'll tell you.
But I think one of the things I mentioned, too, is we're not talking about a 3-foot cedar here and there, and I think we've seen some of those illustrated pictures that I think that Emily has sent us. These are major overhangs that may look nice in a residential area where you got a nice oak tree comes over and it looks nice on a cobblestone, but out in the rural areas, these are major trees that canopy the road. Those are the ones I think we're trying to address here, and I agree with Dave, it's the maintenance issue that keeps that down. My concern about some of these forest controls where we go in and we spend taxpayer money up front, then you just kind of twiddle your thumbs and hope you get that back.
Rex?
Go ahead.
I think the board did pass a resolution several years ago about $90 an hour for
the forest mowing.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if we could do some sort of that if we have to end up going in cleaning up trees or, you know, $90 an hour for a excavator ain't very much, but I suppose a tractor and mower, it's...
Well, I would encourage us to consider that till somebody proves to us we can. We know there are a handful of counties that are being pretty aggressive on things, and until somebody, including the state or the attorney general, says we can't do it, I think we ought to give.
Well, our own attorneys tell us that's probably not a good policy. I mean, that's what Rick has said and said, because if we do this on X farm, it may be 40 years. We put a lien against that property. It may be 40 years before they ever decide to even sell that property. So we're hanging out with a lot of money a long time, and you do multiple properties, all of a sudden you're not looking at any recovery of your money.
And it isn't fair to the people that mow their lawn or mow their, you know, their ditches to prevent that. Because if you didn't mow every year, you'd have little seedlings coming up all the time. And let the wealthy farmers who can well afford to mow their roadsides that just don't do it. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to tax the rest of the people for that either, I don't think.
Matt?
I just want to say I appreciate the time that the committee spent on this. I would agree with the use of the sign tax. Maybe there's a way outside of having them have to traipse down to the Register of Deeds. Is that way they could send an email to the Register of Deed, and maybe she can help us out?
It's that quick with – I can look it up that instantly.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean,
just
it's all –
It'll take that,
You don't even have to come into the Register of Deeds.
Yeah.
It'll take long.
But I think it's a good idea. I think you've done that. I think, again, the priority list, how do you do it? At some point, you probably come up with a safety and a – issue, but I think that's a good idea. I would support that. That's
a good
idea.
Well, if we can continue, we'll try to get some of those things in writing and bring it back, and then think a meeting with the townships would be, you know, in order. Actually, we've got a township officer here. I don't know if he's itching to speak or not.
Do you want to talk, Fred? Now's the time. Step to the podium, name and address for the record.
Now you want to.
Our clerk makes us do that.
Yeah. Come on, Dave.
You've met her.
Dave. Yeah. All right, Fred.
Fred Wright, Sisley Township. That's probably our biggest issue is brush control. I mean, my dad was on for years. I've been on for years. And Dave knows it's an ongoing problem. It's never been solved. It's a law. That's how I look at it. It's a law. You guys don't enforce it, now, whether it's you guys or the sheriff or whoever. And like Shirley said, people that do mow their roadsides, why should they make up the slack for people that don't? So, to me, short statement, it's a law. We should enforce it.
Amen.
Thank you, Fred.
And a cute little 3-foot cedar can make a 4-foot snowdrift.
Yeah.
That don't mean to diminish that.
A telephone pole can start a snowdrift. I mean, it's in a cute little plum thicket that maybe a quail hides in once in a while can make a 7-foot snowdrift.
Last year it made a lot bigger one.
Yeah, and they're 100 yards in length. It's not just how deep they are, it's how long they are. So
It'd be interesting.
You guys get sick of this, but it's a real problem. I hope we can progress on it.
I guess it'd be interesting to see what some of the other counties are doing with this, because it's not a problem just Gates County. It's got to be a problem all the way to Missouri River.
We've had these discussions, and Danny, did you introduce some of this type legislation? Did it ever go anywhere? Can you give us a little background on that?
Your agricultural groups, your formal groups in Nebraska, whenever you introduce legislation like this or try to get something to enforce it, come in and oppose it. And so what happens is then their representatives, particularly in the rural areas and the urban areas, just listen to them because it doesn't affect them. And they say, hey, this is, you're imposing on us and you're imposing on agriculture. We can't afford to take our time or money to do this, and so there's no more enforcement. But again, I say we're also talking about liability issues, and this came up relative to the counties. If it's a county road, and I'm not sure how it applies to township, but when we have a law, it's supposed to be mowed. If it's not mowed by the people responsible for it, we have to do it or we're liable. We have to follow up and take the action to do it ourselves. And so, and that gets expensive, but it's the law and liability. And
I'm going to answer Fred's question of it's the law. Township boards are elected governing bodies. It's a law to your board, too, and we're our next layer. So, I mean, the way I look at that, when you start talking the law, the first set of enforcement starts with the township body. That is elected body with the levying authority. I mean, that's where it starts. So, I mean, there's responsibility not just here. Because to me, it's one of those deals the state tells us to do, but there's no resources available. And it's the same way with you guys, but it starts with the township level. And that's where this gentleman that talked to me about was, what hits the townships more than anything? We need enforcement, money. And so my task to you, Fred, is help us on the solution. We need to come up with something. And it don't have to be today, but give it some thought. And I know you've given it thought in the past, but I guess I'm asking for help from all township boards to how do we address this and correct it down the road.
There are townships in our county already that are doing spraying, preventive spraying, and some have their own mowers. You know, like Island Grove, they have a batwing mower, I believe. Does Riverside, don't they do some spraying or mowing? I know there are some that are doing that, and again, I think we can all, and we don't, last thing we need to do is be pointing fingers back and forth. We absolutely need to be working together, and prevention's a big chunk of it, but where it is a safety issue, we have to have a remedy, a process to remedy, and be willing to enforce it. So maybe we just need to get all that theory in writing and try to pursue it.
Shirley.
And I know that even though we shouldn't be pointing fingers at each other, I really think that if we could print names in the paper, that would be our biggest asset. And I know we're not allowed to do that, but no one likes to see their name in the paper that they're not doing something right. They'd probably run right out there and start taking down their trees and trying to help that. But they wouldn't want to see their name in the paper, but that we're not there to do.
We're thinking maybe posting at least a location, if not names, but the location on the website would be something we could do internally. And then if the press decided to pick up on it, that'd be their responsibility, but that'd be something we could do. That was another brainstorm thought we had. So
it'd be good if we had some advice from our attorney on what we can do, how far we can push this. And what are our liabilities?
I think we all recall the statutes, particularly with trees and brush, show up in about three different places, and they're all referred to in different. One was you had to trim them up to 8 feet, and now I think they changed up to 15 feet. But and it doesn't clarify. Is that the one that's coming up off private property hanging in the road? It doesn't really address what's in the right-of-way. You know, and y'all know my stance. If it's in that 66 feet, it's got to go. I mean, that's because to have a decent, safe road bed, you have to have all 66 feet to maintain that 22 to 26 feet in the middle. You need the drainage ditches. You need place to push snow. our forefathers were very bright about establishing a right-of-way that was wider than the road.
So. We had that breakout session at NACO that one year, and we're not unique. The rest of the state's the same way. The enforcement, it comes to a halt when it ends, goes to a certain level. If it's not embraced by the landowner, they were all hitting a brick wall, so I mean...
We'll try to put these ideas in writing. We'll get the statutes collated in one sheet that apply, and then we'll have a little more information, and then we can move on.
Okay, Marlon.
That time that bill was introduced, and I went up and testified, that was a NACO-sponsored one several years ago. And after I testified, of course, Isaac Walton League, the Pheasants Forever, Mama Osborne, everybody got up and said, you know, where do our pheasants go then, you know, and where do our birds go, you know. So you get a lot of...
Conservationist movement, you just got to have safety trump conservation in this, because it isn't conservation, it's danger, but... But we could, I think, get the farm bureaus and the farmers' unions on our side if we explained it to them a little bit. Because I think there's enough, you know, at some point they just didn't want any more regulation. They didn't want anybody telling them they had to do anything on their what they perceive as their property. And the first thing they'll tell you, we pay taxes to the center of the road, and they are very offended any time government tries to tell them to do anything in that right-of-way. So right away you have a psychological battle over who controls the right of way. So,
what else on this, Marlon?
The only other thing was the FEMA update.
Okay.
And I was like I told you before about the DeWitt project up there, and I did discuss it with Brian Podowinski. And he said they did authorize funds. He's not quite sure when they'll be coming, trickling down. And then we did settle on the November electrical storm. That one was $69,000-something. Of course, we'll get 75% of that from the feds and 12.5% from the state if the state appropriates money. And then we did settle on the Christmas storm, and that was the emergency response only, and that was $11,000-something, and now we're in the process of working on the what we're calling the spring thaw from March-something on. So, and Kathy Kerwin is here with FEMA. She's a supervisor with FEMA, too, and she can give you an update also. So.
Well,
You can step up there,
Come up and identify yourself.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Catherine Kerwin, and I am considered a PA crew leader for this area and have been working this area since January. So I have gone through several disasters with you. Right now we're working on 1902, which is the spring thaw. And just to kind of give you an update of where we're at this point, and I will tell you that, and I do have authority to tell you, that the funds, we've been waiting for funds from Congress, and we got the official news the day before yesterday that those funds are now in Nebraska. So they will be trickling down for any permanent work down to the local governments. So Marlon will start getting some money here. For 1902, basically what we're looking at is I have 33 projects that I am going to be writing, give or take one or two that we may add or change or drop off. Out of those 33, we have 8 already completed. We have 2 more that are waiting for signatures, and then the rest we're working on at this point. The totals, I really don't wish to give out totals at this point because these can fluctuate. We write up the projects, and then they go up to the JFO, and the JFO and headquarters makes a determination of whether or not they agree. They may add to or take away from what we have written, depending on the laws, the Stafford Act, and how they view that those laws. So at this time, I'd rather not disclose that. However, Marlon has a list of the projects. We give him always a copy of those projects with our determination on it, and then they go up for review. So is there any other questions I can answer maybe for anybody?
When you say trickle, how long is a trickle?
Since it's in Nebraska, the biggest problem is we told Marlin for a long time, it's coming. Yeah, but the process of going through Congress, it's actually here in Nebraska. They just released the funds for Nebraska the other day. It's not. That's how close it is.
Is it like 2 weeks, 3 weeks? On the average, what's your
I would honestly say between 6 to 8 weeks from the time that they get the money to the time that Marlin's going to get it. And if Marlin does not hear anything in that time frame, he needs to contact the state. Because what FEMA does is always gives it to the grantee. And then the grantee gives it to the subgrantee, which is what this county is.
But your money you get from Congress when it gets to Nebraska goes to the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency and they pass it through?
No, it goes to the state.
Well, yeah, they're part of the state, though.
Yeah. But that's exactly how it does. Yeah, then the state disperses it down. Yes, yeah. Correct. Yes. So, anything else for anybody? All righty.
Thank you.
That's about it. Oh, I do want to say something. I want to give credit to these two ladies for helping me. They really deserve a raise. They are tremendous. They have worked. I've worked with them since January, and I can't tell you the hard work these people have gone through. This is very complex. We have come up with a system that works for all of us to come up with deciding where the damages start and begin. The problem is especially when we've had rains in May and rains in June, where is the disaster that occurred from March 6th to April 3rd? So we actually have worked as a great team, but these girls are the ones that get the credit. Whenever we have a question for any township or any of the Gage County, we go to them, and they can usually come up with a pretty good answer. So I want to recommend and commend these two ladies that you should seriously keep them around and give them a raise because they are great to work with. I really appreciate working with Marlin as well. I mean, it's been an awesome experience. I've worked in Gage County. This is my second time here. I live in Nebraska, so I am a Nebraskan. But I worked, I think it was 2007 here for the spring floods, and now I'm back again. So I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to work with these people. So I just wanted to, that is very important for me to get out there because it can be a very, very, very difficult job. I would like to make a recommendation. This is a recommendation for all townships, and I don't know if this is the appropriate place, but this is something I've been dealing with. One of the things I would like to recommend, and this is a recommendation for me, so I don't know if I'll get a repercussion from FEMA, okay? But this is real important for me. I believe that the townships, each township, at the beginning of the year, should go through a bid process. And if they like the person they're working with for contract labor, they would pick that person. But I think they need to do a competitive bid at the beginning of the year and pre-select their contractors for the year and put it in the minutes. The reason why I say that is one of the things I'm fighting the most is that the townships tell me that they pick this contractor or this person because he's the closest to them and they've done business for 30 years. If you look in the FEMA guidelines, it says that we have to have a competitive bid. I've been trying to get around those guidelines legally within the Stafford Act. And to do that, if they pre-selected at the beginning of the year, they could get around that, or they have to do competitive bids. So, and it's really hard, and my argument is this. If you are in the middle of a disaster or something unusual happens, we don't really know we're in a disaster. We just take care of it, like the snowstorm, or if there's a culvert out, we just fix it. And we fix it in our normal manner. And that's where it becomes a problem because then later on, if it becomes a disaster, we have to follow federal guidelines, which is competitive bidding. So that is my recommendation. It's an easy fix. It's a very simple fix for the townships. It's just a recommendation, on a personal level. So
I might just add, I think it's an excellent recommendation, because that way when you have a disaster comes up, all of a sudden the township at least has somebody that they've had a competitive bid on that they can go right to right then and say, this is the person that submitted a bid to do, et cetera, et cetera. I know it may be a pain, but I tell you, it's just...
It's one pain, one year.
Yeah, it's
once a year.
It's a pain. But I tell you, it's much easier to do it then than it is to try to...
Correct.
After the disaster, you explain why'd you get this guy and not this guy.
Correct.
You know, make sure there isn't any.
And I've been dealing with this for literally weeks. And this is the solution I'm getting closer and closer to, and that's why I recommend it at this point. Okay. Thank you very much for your
time. Thank you. What else, Marlon?
That's all I had. And when you get done with that next item, if you want to look at this video, it'd be great.
Around 10 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, can we take the next item that it would be 15 minutes?
No. Whatever.
No, I mean with the weed thing.
Approve or disapprove letter of support for grant funding for the Five Rivers Weed Management Area to control invasive weeds.
We're asking for a $37,000 grant from the Nebraska Environmental Trust.
Thank you.
$7,000 would go towards education, and the $30,000 would go on control.
Should be on that.
And you guys have a copy of the letter, so you can see the weeds that we're wanting to control, and we have all of those weeds in Gage County. And we're looking at the biologically unique landscapes, which is the majority of southeast Gage County. So landowners would be responsible for 25%. The grant would cover 75%. It's probably going to be a little bit slow this first year. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, because we want to use that $7,000 in education and advertising. So we want to put on landowner meetings. It's not going to be any cost to the county. The grant will fund all of it. Basically,
you can use your 25% in kind.
Right.
Pretty much match the 25%.
Right. Just need a letter of support.
Well,
for the grant.
I think very important that we get on this, and this is an excellent place to go. You know, Environmental Trust. Try to get some of our lottery money back, I guess, into the to the area.
Don't have it.
Do you get support on this also from the Five Rivers RCMP?
Yes.
On this type of grant?
Mm-hmm. So. We actually thought about doing a $500,000 grant over 3 years. We thought that might be a little bit more for us to tackle the first year doing it, because we'd have to hire, as the Five Rivers Weed Management Area, hire a grant administrator that would actually foresee all the spraying projects and everything, but we weren't quite sure how that would all work out, because we'd have to provide a vehicle for that person, and the Nebraska Environmental Trust is a little bit sticky on what they're going to pay for as far as vehicles and all that stuff. So each county, each of the 9 counties in the Five Rivers Weed Management Area, would just be responsible for checking up on their county. So it wouldn't mean me running all over the 9
counties. $37,000 grant is for all the counties in the Five Rivers?
For 1 year.
1 year. How many counties again?
9.
Most of them don't have the problems, basically. Like.
No, Pawnee is huge, and like I said, Southeast Gage is huge, and Jefferson.
Need a motion to...
I would move that we would... approve a letter of support for grant funding for the Five Rivers Weed Management Area to control invasive weeds.
I'll second it.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Thank you.
Where the weeds? Sandy Morrissey, you're up.
Where the weeds are?
She didn't say which ones.
I thought she said there was a list of all the weeds.
She referred them to it. Must be on the other sheet. Did you have a list? Emily, did you have a list of the weeds that we were talking about?
Is it all these? These here?
They're in the letter of support.
That's hand.
Okay, I don't see the letter.
No.
Okay.
Nothing here I'm aware of.
I didn't see that.
Oh.
I didn't either.
There's science.
That sheet just got around. Somebody's holding up on us.
Maybe. Oh, those are mine. Okay.
There you go.
Well, this?
Now you're thinking.
This is amazing.
Good morning. I'm here for my annual visit to fill you in on substance abuse prevention efforts within Southeast Nebraska, Region 5. I've been charged for some of you. I think most of you are familiar with me, but my role within the region is to actually, we started coordinating.
To, I think, probably Beatrice, but they're going to be in Odell at 1 o'clock. Jim Spangler's taking them around, and I got to do a song and dance for them. So tourism apparently gets somebody once in a while. I wish I knew more about who they are and what the deal is, but so.
Good. Anything else for the good of the order?
Insurance meeting at 1 o'clock.
Insurance at 1.
Here.
Zoning at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Finance right after, quickly.
Good. Meeting adjourned.
See you guys later.